Isaiah takes time to, it's a little interlude, if you will, of praise. And a lot of times in our life when things are stressful, things are not going right, you know, that's the very time when we need to take a break and we need to pause and praise God. Find that and remember that He's always there for us, and He is our supply and our hope, and that He never leaves us and never forsakes us. And so in the midst of all of this judgment and despair, Isaiah gives us another, he just pauses for a minute to worship the Lord. This is what he says. "And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. For he also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst." What a great and important reminder of some important truths that Isaiah gives us to remind us that when things seem bleakest, we need to shout to the Lord and praise Him for several different things. And we find that God really is all that we need when He's all that we have. And so the first thing that I want us to find is that God is our Redeemer. Isaiah says, hey, listen, yes, we're in this midst of toil and trouble, and yet there's hope. The day will come. And remember in the chapter 11 that we looked at last time, a couple weeks ago, remember God gave us a little hint of a promise that there was going to be a green shoot that was going to come out of all of the destruction, and out of that shoot was going to come this branch that was going to deliver God's people. And so he reminds us that it's God that's our Redeemer. We can't save ourselves. And in fact, you know, mankind tries to. And you know what we do? We fail every single time. We cannot redeem ourselves. You know, there are a lot of people, every January 1st, lots and lots of folks make, maybe you're among this list, that you make resolutions, say, you know what, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and usually by January 4th or 5th, those New Year's resolutions are long out the window, because we cannot, in our own strength and power, redeem ourselves. Redemption can only come from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and so Isaiah reminds us of that important truth. He says, you know what, God, you're my salvation. That God will redeem us out of the trouble that we find. God will redeem us out and bring that song that we sing, Beauty from Ashes, and Graves to Gardens. And so we need to remember that important truth, that God is our Redeemer. And it's like Paul said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We have that song that we sing sometimes. And we ought to be not ashamed or bashful about speaking of the Lord's redemption. It does two things. It first reminds us that we're redeemed, that we're not lost, and that we're not hopeless, and that we're not without an answer and without salvation, but rather God has redeemed us. And there are times in all of our lives where we need to be reminded of that important truth. Especially during times when we may be going through difficulties or we may not feel particularly redeemed, There's times when we may not feel like we're really saved or we're Christian, but thankfully our salvation is not dependent upon our feelings. It's dependent upon a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And if we've trusted him as our Lord and Savior and found salvation and found new life that comes from that salvation. And so Isaiah praises God, first of all, that he is our Redeemer. So it reminds us, but secondly, as we testify and remember our Redeemer and that we are redeemed, that's also a testimony to those that need redeeming. Because just like all of us were at one point in time in our life, lost and without God and wandering aimlessly in the world of sin, until we found Jesus and he came into our life and made us new. We all know family members and friends and co-workers that are in that same boat. And just as Jesus redeemed you, he can redeem them. But they're not going to hear about the redemption that comes from a relationship with God from the news or from self-help books or from trying to do better themselves. How are they going to hear about this Redeemer that came to offer them new life? The only way they're going to hear about it is if you, who've experienced that, have that relationship with that Redeemer, tell them about it. And so, remembering and praising God. Isaiah knew that he was saved. He knew God's protection. He knew God's providence. And yet he reminds himself often throughout these 66 chapters of God's not only redeeming, but of his love and his grace. Does he mention God's mercy? Yes. Does he mention God's justice, though? Yes, he does. He reminds Israel that, hey, listen, these things are happening because of choices that you've made, because you thought you knew better than God and you were going to do things your own way. Well, you know what? Human beings over these centuries have not changed. How do we know that? Because we all still like to do things our way. We think our way is the best way. Sometimes we get in trouble. We think our way is the only way. And yet the truth of the matter is God's way is the only way that works. When we try to do things our way, most of the time we end up in a mess. That's why Paul declared in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so Christ is our Redeemer. He's the promised one that Isaiah began talking about in chapter 11. And now in these six verses continues this psalm of praise, thanking God for his redemption. And that's something we need to do regularly, is thank God for the fact that we are redeemed. God needs to, and our prayers ought not just to be a laundry list of our wants and telling God what we think he ought to do, but we ought to spend time in our prayer time just simply thanking God that he redeemed us. While we were yet unworthy, he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And we need to be thankful for that. And by the way, when we're reminded of that, it helps us to remember, hey, we're supposed to live differently because I'm not like this world. I'm redeemed. And I'm supposed to be living like I'm redeemed. People ought to know that you belong to Jesus, that there's something different about you. But then in these verses, these six verses, he reminds us also that God is not only our Redeemer, but secondly, that God is our refuge. That God is our safe haven. He's a place of safety, a place of security, a place of protection. And I'm thankful that to know that, it's God's hand that spares us a lot of heartache and a lot of trials. And you stop and think a minute, and the Bible says that, God does not put more on us than what we're able to handle and able to endure. That with every temptation and trial, we're able to find a way of escape. And yet, sometimes we say, well, the Lord has a whole lot more faith in me than I have in myself. And we don't understand. We don't think we can handle it. But God never leaves us, and he never forsakes us. He sticks closer than a brother, Scripture says about Jesus. And so he is our protector and our safe place. And so he not only saves us, but he provides us strength. He provides us the way that we can go on. Sometimes in this world, you know what, we can get beaten up and we can get drained, and you know, sometimes we may feel like, you know, this life just is not worth living. I don't want to go on. And yet when we turn to God and we say, God, you know what, this is how I'm feeling, but I know you want different. And I'm trusting you to work. And you know what God does? God reminds us that he is, as David said in the Psalms, he said, God is a very present help in time of trouble, in Psalm 46. And so Isaiah reminds us that God, yes, he redeems us, but he is also there for us. It's not just that we get saved and then put our salvation card in the closet for when we need to get out of trouble, or when we die and we go to heaven, we have this ticket and we can get into heaven. But rather, God desires and wants to be an important daily part of our life. He wants to be the center of our life. And when God is the center of our life, Isaiah reminds us that blessing comes. Nourishment comes. He said, listen, it's by your salvation that I can draw living water. Isaiah giving us another glimpse of what Jesus would say. You remember Jesus said that to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said, you know what, whoever drinks of this well water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst. That Jesus is the one that gives that sustaining and refreshing, life-sustaining water. It comes from a relationship with God. So that when we face trials and tribulations and when everything seems against us, we remember that, hey, listen, God has got our back. God is in control, and God is with us. Even when sometimes it seems like he's not. Remember, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, God works all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. It does not mean that if you're living right, that everything that happens to you is going to be great and grand. What it means is, Paul says, God will take even the mess of your life, even those hard things, even the tears that you cry and the doubts and the wonders and the struggles that you have, and he'll bring all those things and bring good out of them. And he does. He's so faithful to do that. And so, you know, that. So think about, you know, as we're in tornado season and hurricane season coming up, you know, we've got these safe rooms or, you know, safe places you're supposed to go when you know, tornado comes. You don't go outside. You don't hang it out in front of the big bay window in the sitting room. You get into the bathroom or in the basement. Of course, most houses here don't have basements, but you get into whatever the most inner protected room of the house is. And that's will help protect us. That's how God is in our life, that he is who we ought to go to and run to for protection. He ought to be the first call that we make rather than the last, like he so often is. We oftentimes, it's our last resort to pray about something. And I remember being at the hospital, one of our church members in Columbus was really sick. And, at the time was not looking like she was going to make it through the night. And her family understandably was upset. She lived with her sister, and it was a niece, and they called him grandson, but he was, I guess, a nephew. Technically, I don't know how all that works, but you know, they were fretting, and you know, just and Dalton, who at the time was probably 6 or 7, he's grown up now, but at the time he was 6 or 7, and Jesus said, you know, out of the mouth of babes. But Dalton piped up and said, well, have you prayed about it? And that just kind of brought a sense of peace to them from this child, reminding them that, hey, listen, you don't need to fret or worry. And there was no doubt about where Helen was going if the Lord did take her. He gave her a good while longer on earth. But there was no doubt she was one of the most godly and God-fearing women that I've ever known. And so it wasn't that, but they were just fretting about, and you know, the doctors told them it's not looking very good. And understandably, when you hear that about a loved one, it's upsetting. Any of us would be if we're in that situation. And yet, when we're troubled and those situations come, our response should not be worry. Our response should not be anxiously wringing our hands or pulling our hair out or saying, you know, what am I going to do? Rather, our first response should be to go to God and say, God, you know what? This situation's looking kind of bleak, and I need you to be there for me. I need you to have your way. And so God is not only our Redeemer, but He is our refuge. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And then lastly, not only is God our Redeemer and God is our refuge, but secondly, or thirdly rather, God is our refrain. God is our core. In other words, we ought to praise Him. He is the source and He is the object of our praise. He alone is worthy, by the way, to be praised. And so he says in that last verse, he says, so cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, talking about those who were redeemed. If you're saved, say it. Don't be ashamed of it. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent and great things. You know, so often in life as we're going through difficulties or sometimes just going through life, we don't see God working or we wonder what on earth He's doing. But then when we look back, see, you know what? God really was in the midst of that situation and God was doing a great work. And then we can see sometimes what God was up to when we couldn't at the start. God, the children of Israel certainly did not see the blessing of being taken captive into a foreign land or having their cities and the nation of Jerusalem, the house of worship destroyed. They didn't see any benefit of that. But all that was necessary to get the people's attention, to get them to turn from their idolatry and from trusting in foreign gods and foreign governments, and coming back to trust in one true God that was to be their Lord, that was to be their Redeemer, that was there to protect them. And so he says, cry out and shout when God does something in your life. Oftentimes when we have, you know, occasionally we'll say, let's have a testimony time. And so often it's like pulling teeth. Everybody sits there all quiet. Oh, I don't want to say anything. But the truth of the matter is that God has worked in all of our lives, and He's done so much for us. There's plenty for us to thank God for. And we need to take opportunity and praise Him for that, not only, you know, kind of individually in our prayer time, but we need to take time to do that together, corporately. You know, a word of testimony about how God has worked in your life might just be the word of encouragement that somebody that's there that day might need to hear to be able to carry on, or might lift somebody up, or might help them in their walk and relationship with Christ. So God wants us to understand, to remember, He is our Redeemer, that He has saved us. But most importantly in that we realize and understand we are not our own, that we belong to Him because He has redeemed us. Not only does He redeem us, but He wants us to know and remember that He is our source of strength, our refuge, our protection, our source of strength. And when we realize and we see God work, the natural response to that is praise. That we sing to the Lord. You know, Seth does a great job trying to lead us, and I can tell you that, you know, a lot of times, this is what he sees. Blank faces and, you know, no lips moving. But listen, if God has saved us and God has changed us there, I'd be a smile on our face, and our lips ought to open wide. And listen, whether we can carry a tune in a bucket or not, Bible doesn't say sing a on tune. It says make a joyful noise to the Lord. And for some of us, that's what our singing is noise. But you know what? No matter how bad or how off-key it is, and it makes music people like Seth, you know, cringes and grates on an earth, you know, and you hit the wrong note or you sing. But to God, it's wonderful music. Just like, you know, had some kids in band before and have gone to 6th and 7th grade band concerts. If you've ever been to a 6th or 7th band concert, you know it is not a pretty sight. It is, you know, screeching out of whatever instruments they're trying to play, and you can sort of generally catch what they're trying to play. But do you know what? When you leave that place, you say to that sixth grader, you say, "Man, Seth, you really stunk." Now you say, "Hey, Seth, great job! That was wonderful." Why? Because you love whoever it was that was part of that band that gave you a headache and might have shattered some windows, and because you love them. And God loves to hear His people praise Him. He loves when we sing to Him. He loves when we just say, "Lord, thank you for what you've done." He ought to be the chorus of our life. And by the way, that young girl that started in sixth grade band, that it was screechy awfulness, by the time she got to 12th grade, the 12th grade band always did a whole lot better. And you could always tell what they were, you know, what they were playing, and their songs, you know, were a little bit more difficult. And you know what? The same is true in our life. The more that we walk with the Lord, and the more we praise Him, and the more He does for us, and the more we come to know Him, the louder and better our praise to Him ought to be. It doesn't come by accident. It doesn't come by chance. We come to know God as our Redeemer and our refuge and our refrain, the chorus of our life, by practicing it. No matter how much we praise the Lord, we all probably could use a little more practice at it. But Isaiah says, and he reminds us, as he gave us in chapter 11, this little promise of hope and redemption that the Messiah was going to come. Then he declares for us, hey, listen, that is reason to sing and shout praises. Oftentimes, throughout the Psalms, you read them, it talks about making a joyful noise and shouting to the Lord. giving him praise. By and large, that's what the book of Psalms is, 150 of them. Now, some of them are prayers, some of them are complaints, and yet through all of them, there's this recognition that God is intimately involved in the life of his people. He wants you to know him, and he wants to know you. He wants you to know him as Redeemer, and as refuge, and as refrain. And if we'll do that, then like Isaiah, we'll say, you know what, even when things are rough, even when I don't see what on earth God is doing, I'm going to praise him because I know he's up to something good. It takes some spiritual maturity to have that realization when you're going through trials. But that's God's desire for our life. So I hope we'll hear from the prophet Isaiah. And even in the midst of when there's trouble in our life or things are not easy, that we'll still trust God and we'll be able to say, you know what, God is still good. God is still with me. And I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him in the good times. I'm going to praise him in the bad times. Because he's still God. And he's still with me. And so I hope God will encourage us and with us with that great, important message that certainly we need in these days to be reminded of. So let's stand together and we'll be dismissed for Sunday school this morning. Again, please do remember Leslie and Ms. Kay and Brother Terry Pierce. And Brother George, dismiss us in prayer this morning.